You know, it's the ninth day of January, and I hope you all have started reading your Bibles through for the year. Whatever schedule you've chosen to use, there's some out on the back table if you haven't seen them, one to get through in a year, one to get through in 6 months, and one to get through in 4 months. And I always take all three of them and start all three of them. And so, because I just, you know, I like to read the Bible, and I've actually started a fourth time, so I'm into the Bible four different times, one on the yearly schedule, one on the six-month schedule, one on the four-month schedule, and then another one where I'm just reading it through. And so this past week and, you know, last weekend, I read the first few chapters of Genesis four different times, and I read there about the Garden of Eden. And when I read the Bible, I always like to stop and think what it must have been like, you know, to walk in people's shoes, or I don't know if Adam and Eve had shoes, but to, you know, to walk in their steps and think about what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden. I think the Garden of Eden was a wonderful, wonderful place. Everything was new there. There wasn't anything that had aged or had worn out. It was all new, made by God. Everything, every place that Adam and Eve looked, they saw something that reminded them that God loved them. Because this was a place that he had prepared for them, and everything in there, again, said from God to Adam, to Eve, hey, I care about you, I love you. I think the weather was always perfect. I don't think it was too hot. I don't think it was too cold. I think it was just the way that they wanted it. I don't think there was any weeds that needed to be pulled. I don't think there was any pickers that stung. I think the animals played together. They didn't fight with one another. They didn't have to worry about the lion eating the lamb or anything like that. That they got along well, and they got along with Adam and Eve well. I think they could have a picnic with no flies. They could go out at night and not have to worry about mosquitoes. You think, you say, preacher, you don't believe there were flies and mosquitoes in the Garden of Eden? Yeah, I believe they were there, but they didn't buzz and they didn't bite. They were there. It was a perfect place. I could think they could go swimming with the snakes. They could ride the giraffes. Everything smelled new. Everything smelled fresh. And everything tasted good. Even spinach and broccoli and some of those other things we might not like. But everything tasted good. And the best part about the Garden of Eden was that they got to fellowship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so in the evening, God came to this man and this woman that he had created, that he had placed in this place that we know as the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that they fellowshiped together. They had communion together. And I think Adam and Eve many, many times took God by the hand and said, hey, let me show you what we found today. They discovered something they'd never seen before. And they wanted to share it with God. They just wanted to praise him for making it. And so they fellowshiped. They got to ask questions to God. I don't know what kind of questions, but I'm sure they had questions. Why does a zebra have stripes? Why does a horse not? Why is this thing made this way? And they were able to ask questions. And then God was able to give them instructions for how he wanted them to take care of this place that they lived. And most of all, they just got to be with him. They got to know him. And so I've been thinking this week about the Garden of Eden. And I've been thinking, boy, what a wonderful place that would be to live. You know, I think in the Garden of Eden, you know, this time of year people think about, you know, their resolutions. I think in the Garden of Eden they could eat and not have to worry about calories. And they could eat and not have to worry about cholesterol. And they could eat and not have to worry about, you know, what kind of stuff they were taking in. And I think it was a wonderful, wonderful place. And I was thinking this week, wouldn't it be great if we could go back and live in the Garden of Eden? And I didn't actually think about it that way. I didn't think, wouldn't it be great if we could go back and live in the Garden of Eden? I thought about it, wouldn't it be great if I could go back and live in the Garden of Eden? But then I was driving to church on Friday. I picked up Jeff Friday morning to come and clean it. But before I got to his house, the thought crossed my mind. God didn't want me to live in the Garden of Eden. If he wanted me to be in the Garden of Eden, he would have put me in the Garden of Eden. But he didn't put me in the Garden of Eden. He put me in this world. And I got to thinking that what I have in this place, the world that we live in today, even all the problems and all the things that are going on in the world today, the world that we live in today is actually better than the Garden of Eden. You say, preacher, how can you say that? The Garden of Eden was an idyllic place. I mean, it was perfect. But I think that the place that we live in today, the world that we live in today, the life that we have today is actually better than the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to give you four reasons as I thought about it coming to church Friday morning why it is better. Number one, it's better because I don't have to rely on my memory to remember the Word of God. The Bible says that God came and he communed with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he talked with them there. He told them that he loved them. He gave them instructions. He answered their questions. But there was nothing written down. How long did Adam and Eve stay in the Garden of Eden? I don't know. I know that Cain wasn't born until after they were kicked out, and Adam was 130 years old when that happened. And a lot of people say, well, the years were different back then than they are now. Why would you think that? I mean, the sun and the moon and the earth is the same today as it was back then. And so the years back then were the same as years today. And Adam was actually 130 years old, as we know years, when Cain was born. So how long did they live in the Garden of Eden? Was it 50 years? Was it 60? Was it 70? I don't know. It could have been a long time and fit in with the events that we have in the Bible. However long it was, God came to them every day. He spoke to them. He instructed them. He told them how much he loved them. He answered their questions, but nothing was written down. They had to remember the Word of God from their memory. Now, I read where people today say that we only use a tenth of our brain. And I question that in some people. Not that it's higher, but that it's, never mind. But we only use, on the average, we use a tenth of our, and I think Adam was different. I think he had, 100% of his mind. He used 100% of his mind. So I think he had a wonderful memory. But today is better than the Garden of Eden because I don't have to use the tenth of my mind to remember the Word of God. I have a book that's written down that I can open any time of day or night, and I can read about how much God loves me. And I can read about the instructions that he's given me for how to live this life. And I can go with questions, and I can find the answer in that book. And so even though the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place, I think today is better because I have the Bible, the Word of God, written by God, word for word, that I can look at and I can read any time I want. That's something that Adam and Eve didn't have. Again, they had to remember, and again, they had better brains, but I'm glad it's written down. And I'm glad that we live in a place where we have the freedom to own them. We have the freedom to read them anytime that we want. And again, I would encourage you. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we have in the Bible. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. It's still the bestseller. But isn't it sad that it's the bestseller? But in many Christians' homes, it stays closed throughout the week, and we never, ever open it. The Garden of Eden has nothing to compare to the Bible that we have today. That's why today is better. Second reason why today is better than the Garden of Eden, I have the presence of God with me all the time. All the time. 24/7. 365 days a year, 366 on leap year. The Bible says, again, we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, that in the cool of the day that God came walking in the garden, that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I think Adam and Eve knew that God was watching over them all the time. I think they knew that he had his eye on them all day and all night. But they had to wait for a certain time of day for him to come so that they could come into his presence. They had to wait till that the cool of the day, the evening of the day. What if they saw something at sunrise that they wanted to ask him about? They had to wait till the cool of the day. What if they had a question at noontime that they wanted to ask God about? They had to wait till the evening. What if they just wanted, they saw something that reminded them of how much God loved them and they just wanted to praise him and love on him? They had to wait till the evening, till the cool of the day. The day that we live in is better because I don't. If I have a question in the morning, I don't have to wait to nighttime to ask the question. I have the presence of God that dwells with me 24/7. I can get up at sunrise and I can go to the Lord and I can ask that question. If I have something that I need instruction about, and it's at noontime, I don't have to wait to evening. I can go to him at that moment and get instruction. If I want to praise him and love on him, I don't have to wait till the cool of the day. I don't have to wait to evening. I can do that all day long. And I think today is better than the Garden of Eden because God's with me all the time. He promises to never leave me or forsake me. And he's with me all the time. So today is better than the Garden of Eden. Number three, today is better than the Garden of Eden because I know more than Adam and Eve did how much God loves me. Now, listen, they knew how much God loved them. Again, everything that was in the Garden of Eden was there as God's way of telling them, I love you. I love you. Everything was there. I mean, every vegetable, every tree, every animal, every flower, it was there as God's way of saying to that first man and that first woman, I love you. And so they knew they were loved by God. But I want to tell you, today, we know more how much God loves us. Because you see, Adam and Eve didn't know about Gethsemane. They did not know that Jesus would go into that garden the night before he was crucified and sweat great drops of blood. They didn't have Herod's court or Pilate's hall where Jesus would be taken, falsely tried, and beaten for us. They did not have Calvary's cross. Say, well, preacher, they got it pictured when God killed the animals and provided skin. Yeah, but that didn't come till after the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, they didn't even have that picture. They didn't have Calvary. They didn't have the cross. They did not have that place where God the Father sent his Son to pay for our sins. And as Jesus went to that cross, every sin was laid on him. They didn't know about the whip, the cat of nine tails, where he was whipped before he went to the cross. They didn't know about the rods. They did not know about him being punched and slapped and his beard being pulled out. They knew about none of that. And yet we know it all. We know about Calvary. We know about Gethsemane. We know about Herod's hall and Pilate's court. We know about the whip, and we know about the rod, and we know about the punching and the slapping and the crown of thorns. We know about the cross and the nails through his hands and through his feet. We know about the spear that was stuck into his side. We know all about that. And everything, every single one of those things says to us from God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much that when you were sinners, when you didn't deserve it, I sent my son to die in your place to pay for your sins. I love you. And again, Adam and Eve knew that God loved them. All they had to do was look around, and everything they saw reminded them of God's love. But we have something better. Today is better than the Garden of Eden, because I not only could look at nature, I not only can look at the heavens and know that God loves me, I can look back to Calvary, and I can look back to the cross, and I can look back to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for me on that cross, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves me. I'll remind you this morning, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I've heard people say this, and I don't quite understand it, but I believe it. Jesus came to die for me as an individual. If everybody else here was perfect and you never sinned, you never broke one of God's laws, and I was the only sinner in the whole world, Jesus would have still come and died for me. For me. And he did the same thing for you. If everybody else was perfect and you were the only sinner in the whole world, he went to the cross for you. For you. Adam and Eve didn't know that. Yeah, they were going to learn about it. When they were kicked out of the garden, God was going to make them a coat of animal skins. He was going to give that prophecy to Eve that, you know, that her offspring would bruise the head of the serpent, but he would bruise his heel. And they got pictures of it after they were kicked out of the garden. But today's better. Today's better because I know about the cross. I know about Calvary. And then number four, today is better because I have something to look forward to. See, in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. They got to fellowship with God. The weather was good. The food was good. There was no sin. Everything was perfect. Looking forward, it could only go downhill, Bob. How could it get any better? It went downhill when they disobeyed God. God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden except that one in the center, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat in that one, because the day that you do, you'll die. And they sinned. They disobeyed God. And that's what, by the way, that's what sin is. Some people try to have a real technical definition of what sin is. It's real simple. Sin is doing something God said not to do, or not doing something he said to do. That's what sin is. And they sinned. And when they sinned, they got expelled from that perfect place that they lived in. They got expelled from the Garden of Eden. And their existence went downhill. It's better today because, well, first of all, it can't get much worse. But it's going to get a whole lot better. It's going to get a whole lot better. Because one of these days, you and I, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to go to a place that shares a lot of common characteristics with the Garden of Eden. First of all, God is there. Second of all, there's no sin. Thirdly, we'll get to fellowship with Him, not just in the cool of the day, but moment by moment. In fact, there is no time in heaven, and so we'll have an eternal existence with God. I have that to look forward to. That place that Jesus has prepared for everyone that know Him. He said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One of these days, either by way of the rapture or by way of death, I'm going to leave this life and I'm going to go to that place called heaven, and I'm going to live with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And that promise that I have is a promise that God made to every single person, that if you'll ask Jesus to be your Savior, if you'll trust Him and the payment that He made for your sins, He'll save you, just like we sang about in that first song. He will save you and guarantee you a home in heaven. In heaven. You say, and I know I've had people tell me for years, oh, that's too easy. There must be something more. That's too easy. I mean, all I got to do is just understand that I'm a sinner and believe that Jesus died in my place and receive that and He'll save me? Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing else. In fact, if you try to add anything to that, you've missed the boat. Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I tell you what, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Are you going? Are you going? You can go. You won't get there by good works. You won't get there by church membership. You won't get there. We're going to baptize this morning, but you won't get there by baptism. Becky's going to heaven as much right now as she will be in a few minutes after we get through baptizing her. Because it's not baptism. And it's not the church. And it's not the Lord's Supper. And it's not good works. It is Jesus. Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never asked Him to be your Savior, you need to do it today. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. Jesus paid that penalty. He paid what you owed when He went to Calvary. And so He's able to offer to every person the gift of salvation. Will you take it this morning? Will you? I saw Phyllis passing out candy a minute ago. I saw these guys reaching into the bag, taking that candy. It's a good illustration. That's all you got to do. Is reach out and take Jesus. God offers Him to every. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants you to be saved. Why don't you take Him at His word this morning? Trust Him. Get saved. Reserve a place in heaven. Would you? Say, preacher, I didn't come prepared to do that. Yes, you did. Why do you think you're here? I came because somebody invited me. I came for this reason. No, you came because God wanted you here. He wanted you to hear the gospel. He wanted you to have an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Why don't you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for loving us so much that You sent Jesus to die in our place. And I pray, Father, that if there's just one person here that doesn't know Him as their Savior, right now they will. You could help them see their sin. Father, You could help them understand that the penalty for that sin is to be separated from You forever. But then when Jesus went to the cross, He paid the price. And if they'll come this morning and ask Him, He'll save them. He'll save them. And I pray, Father, every person that's never done it would do it this morning. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that You would remind us what we have in Christ Jesus. We're saved. And we are on our way to heaven. Help us to live for Him. So, Father, I ask You to bless this time of invitation. If there's those here, others that need to come for baptism, help them to come. If there's others that need to come for church membership, help them to come. Just speak to us, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives what You know needs to be done. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.